As he walked into the gymnasium, Bobby saw a large crowd gathered around one person. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of runny nose this evening. He knew instantly who it was. They'd been best friends all through high school. It was J.D. And from all the way across the gym, he could see that J.D. had done well for himself. J.D. was one of those guys that was a man's man. I mean, he was 6'5". He was the quarterback on the football team. He was always very outgoing. Everybody liked him. And he came rushing over to Bobby, put his arms around him, and asked him. He said, "You know, how long has it been?" Bobby says, "It's been 30 years. This is our 30th high school reunion." He says, "Don't you remember?" He says, "The last time we saw each other was graduation night." He says, "Yeah, I knew, but I kind of wondered if you knew." There were a lot of other people around, and they wanted to recollect on things, and so they agreed to meet later, after the reunion was over. J.D. looked at him and said, "How about we meet at the..." And Bobby said, I know where we're meeting. So about 11 o'clock that night, they found themselves sitting at this diner, just the two of them, across the table from each other. J.D. in his $5,000 silk suit, his diamond-encrusted cufflinks, his perfectly manicured hair and fingers. And J.D., who was wearing a corduroy jacket that was probably the one that he wore to homecoming. His hair was long. He was real skinny. You know, he didn't look like he had much, J.D. thought to himself, but, you know, it'd be nice to catch up. J.D. looked at Bobby and he said, "Do you remember that night?" And Bobby said, he says, "Nobody could ever forget that night." See, on their graduation night, they grew up in a little town in Georgia. On their graduation night, they wanted some excitement, so they went to a town about 50 miles away for a dance, and they're having fun. They drove over in Bobby's pickup that he was very proud of, even though it was about 20 years old and on its last legs. On the way back, about 1 o'clock in the morning, the truck broke down. They were stuck in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Georgia, at 1 o'clock in the morning. They had nothing to do but walk. So they got out and they started walking. After a couple miles, they came upon a man that was also walking down the road. And that was pretty odd to him. 1 o'clock in the morning in the middle of Georgia, people aren't just out walking. He was a little concerned, or seemed a little concerned, or at least that's what they thought, when he asked if he could join them and walk with them. He didn't know where they were going, but I guess they thought the company looked good to him. So they walked. Pretty soon they found themselves in this next small town. By that time it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. They were starving, so they sat down in this very same diner. These two freshly graduated high school boys and this stranger. They all ordered something to eat. And as the food came, the stranger asked if he could say a blessing. And as soon as he started, they realized who he was. J.D. looked at Bobby and he said, "Why do you think he chose us?" Bobby really had no reply. He said he didn't know why. He says, "What do you think, J.D.?" And J.D. said, "Well," he says, "let me tell you." He says, "That night changed my life." He said, "I went off to college that fall, went to Georgia Tech, studied theology, went on, got my advanced degree, became a pastor. I studied with Reverend Graham. I've studied with them all. I preached to everybody that would listen. My entire life I have been preaching." He said, "I started," he says, "if I was on a street corner and there were two people there, if they would listen, I would preach." He says, "I'd preach if they even didn't listen." He says, "And now," he says, "honestly," he says, "because of that night," he says, "honestly, because of that night, I believe the Lord has given me the success that I have." He said, "I am the pastor over a 5,000-person church." He says, "Last year alone, I published 3 books. He said, "I have sent missionaries to every corner of the world. I have been on the radio. I said the invocation at the last president's inauguration. All because the Lord wanted me to bring people to Christ. And so that is what I have done my entire life." He says, "What about you, Bobby? What have you done since that night?" Now, they hadn't seen each other since that night. The next morning, Bobby had been drafted. It was the end of the Vietnam War. He had gone off. They hadn't seen each other. They had really not talked to each other in 30 years. Bobby said, "Well," he says, "you know, I got drafted." He said, "but that night had a profound effect on my life, too." He said, "as soon as I got to the induction station, I declared myself a conscientious objector," which you can imagine they didn't care much for. "I was dishonorably discharged because they thought I was just making it up because I hadn't declared it beforehand. Nobody would really hire me at that point. So I set about doing things that I didn't really need anyone's blessing to do." He said, "I've worked for several organizations over the past 30 years. He said, "in the 70s, I was with CARE. He said, "I was in Ethiopia. I helped to feed the starving." He said, "from there, it just seemed like I went from one spot to another." He said, "from there, I went from Ethiopia to Somalia to Bosnia to help refugees." He said, "I went to Rwanda. I went to Darfur." He said, "the only time I've been back in the United States in the past 30 years was during Katrina." He said, "so it's very similar to what your life has been, JD. He said, "you've spent your life bringing people to Christ." He said, "I've tried to spend my life taking Christ to the people." Which one of them right? And which one of them was right? And which one of them was wrong? I don't think either one. Every one of us has come upon Jesus in our lives. And every one of us has responded in a different way. And every one of us will continue to respond in a different way. You've heard me say before, and I will continue to say until the day I die, there is a reason that no two thumbprints are exactly alike. And that is because your thumbprint is the map of your path in life. No two thumbprints are alike. No two paths are alike. Just because someone is doing something differently than you doesn't mean they're wrong or they're right. It doesn't mean that we should seek to emulate anyone. It means that we should seek our own path and discern what it is that God is telling us and why He has chosen to so richly bless us. Amen.